Podcasting from behind her locked bathroom door, the only quiet place in the house, this is the Homeschool Sanity Show, a twice-monthly podcast with expert advice for happier, healthier homeschool living. And now, here's your host, Christian psychologist and homeschool mom of six, Dr. Melanie Wilson.
Hello. By the time this show is posted and available for listening, it's going to be the beginning of the new school year for many of us. And our topic today is just perfect for that. We are going to be talking about ideas for learning with nature walks. My guest today is Cindy West of ShiningDawnBooks.com. Cindy is a veteran homeschooler of three. She has a master's degree in elementary education and is the author of numerous books, including Homeschooling Gifted and Advanced Learners, Charlotte Mason Homeschooling, and the topic of today's interview, 100-plus easy and fun creative nature walks. Cindy, thank you so much for joining me, and I hope you will take some time to tell us a little bit more about you and your family.
Hi, Melanie. I'm so excited to be here today. Thank you for hosting me. I live in Central Kentucky with my three kiddos. I've got one who is a senior, one who is a freshman, and one who is in second grade. So we've homeschooled the entire time. We have used nature study all throughout, so I can't wait to tell you all about how we've done it. We are lucky enough to live on a farm, so we sort of have nature walks at our fingertips, but that doesn't mean that you can't do nature study no matter where you live.
Oh, that's great. Now, you have a child who is going to be a senior then this coming year?
Correct, yes.
All right. Well, I just had my oldest son graduate from high school, so you have a lot of exciting times ahead, that's for sure.
Exciting and busy, I'm afraid. This senior year is going to probably challenge me more than any other.
Yes, it is very, very busy, but it's exciting too. Well, Cindy, what led you to homeschool originally?
Very good question. This is a long story, but I will just make it short and sweet for you. I taught in the public school system, elementary school, for probably 5 years when my daughter was born. Her first year she spent with a babysitter. And at the same time, she was with a babysitter, and I went to work crying every day because I didn't want to leave her there. I sat in a third grade classroom with 32-plus children the entire year. Behavior problems,
wow.
There was no way that I could meet the needs of any of those children, most definitely not the ones who were fringe learners on the bottom or excelling learners on the top. And it led me. That whole year and the entire experience led me to think there has got to be a better way. Through church, we met some people who homeschooled, realized that they weren't quite as weird as I had always assumed homeschooling people were. And just over those next few toddler years, the idea of homeschooling just kept mulling around in my mind. Came time to send my oldest to kindergarten, and I said, I can't do it, to my sweet husband, who said, all righty, what now? And so homeschooling began, and we have not looked back, not once.
That's wonderful. You know, I can relate to some of what you were sharing there, but, you know, that's such a great, I think, testimony to people who are listening who are just beginning this journey. Because I absolutely share your enthusiasm for it. I'm so thankful to God that I am doing it with my family, and it's been such a blessing. Well, today we're going to talk more about one aspect of homeschooling that is really an advantage for homeschoolers, isn't it? That we can get out anytime we want to during the school day to do a nature walk and learn with it with our children. Have you always loved doing nature walks, or was it something that you kind of grew into?
I personally have always loved nature, not necessarily nature walks. That's not what it was called when I would go out hiking with my granny when I was 6 years old, but I always loved being in nature. Nature walks didn't really grow into our homeschool until likely a few years in That's hard to remember now, but I had a second child who was more challenging. He definitely needed different ways to learn. I was beginning to sort of come into my own with Charlotte Mason-style homeschooling. I had always put nature study on the back burner because it was one of what I considered the extras that I simply didn't feel like I had time for. A friend of mine talked me into giving nature study a try for the sake of my second child, and so we did. We just started finding parks that were nearby, going out, doing just really simple things because I had no idea what I was doing for nature study at first. But I saw this little boy who really kind of hated a typical classroom environment, a typical worksheet environment, a typical sit-still environment. He began to flourish being outdoors. And I started to think, wow, there is something to this. And the more we did it, the more I realized that not only was it meeting his needs, but it was helping my daughter, because I only had two at the time. It was helping my daughter, just really refreshing all of us in our spirits, in our souls. And, man, we started really learning some serious science. And when I started realizing all of the science that we were actually able to get in while in an outdoor classroom, I thought, okay, here's a ticket that I really need to stick with and maybe start turning this nature study into something more important in our homeschool.
Did you notice any other advantages once you really got into it?
Oh, absolutely. Besides the outdoor learning, which obviously includes exercise, which we all need, and it benefits us, whether we're good at sitting still or not, it really benefits us. Fresh air and sunshine, even in the winter, were extremely important to that whole renewal of the spirit that I was talking about. Nature walks can be very playful, so I found it a way to get learning in almost sneakily. I don't want to say it was a sneaky way to do learning, because it's really not. And the older my children got, the more serious it became. But it's still very playful. You don't feel like you're necessarily batten down to do some serious work. Also found that when we took the time to be still in nature, there was just sort of this natural peacefulness that that middle child didn't always exhibit, that he was able to just sort of be still. Man, there's just so much more. We feel like we met God out there. And you know, as I started doing Bible study into this, you know, I found Romans 1:20 that tells us, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities have been clearly seen through what he's made. I found Psalm 19:1 through 3 that say the heavens declare the glory of God and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. And those things give us knowledge. And then there was Job 12:7-9 that said, the animals, ask the animals and they will teach you, or the birds of the air and they will tell you. And that goes on and just reinforced to me that he was not only teaching us academically out there, but he was showing us glimpses of himself. And that was huge for us.
Wow.
And then obviously, which I know that you want to talk about, I found that we were able to touch on a bazillion other subjects while on nature walks.
Right. Like, what were some of those? Because obviously, people always think of science, right, when they think about doing nature walks. You know, that's the obvious subject area that you think you can cover. But there are a lot of other ones, aren't there?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I want to sit on science for just a second. A lot of people think, okay, well, earth science, obviously, because you're talking about rocks or soil. Space science, of course, because you can observe the clouds in the sky and the sun and the moon. And then, obviously, the biologies because of the animals and plants. But there's even physical sciences that are brought in when you start talking about, you know, you walk out in the morning and you see the fog and you start discussing with your kids what fog really is and the differences in the states of matter. There's chemistry that's involved, especially as your kids get older and you can start, you know, you might purchase a little kit that tests water quality, for instance, and you're actually doing chemistry experiments, in the water to test the pH level, whether it's good for animals or good for plants or not. So I was shocked because I thought, okay, we'll learn a little bit about flowers. We'll learn a little bit about the animals we see. But it just, the sciences really touched further than I had ever imagined. And before I get into the other academic areas, I just want to encourage people who might think like I did at first that, okay, nature studies may be an extra, maybe an addition. You can certainly think of it that way and do sciences outside of nature study, which we do. We typically do one nature study a week, and then we have other science curriculum that we use. But for the elementary years, we just did a ton of nature study. Of course, there were experiments here and living literature there and a few little textbooky things here. But by the time my kids got into middle school, and I felt like, okay, maybe it's time that we jump into some of the real science, the real textbooks, particularly Apologia or something like that. Mm-hmm. I thought, my, oh my, how will we make this transition? Because, you know, this is where the rubber meets the road. All this nature study we've done, are my kids going to be behind? And I am so pleased to tell you that not only were they not behind, physical science with Apologia, for example, we had covered most of that through nature study. So my daughter breezed through that book, my oldest. I'm just giving you her as an example. Then she went into biology. Obviously, there was a little bit more meat to it, but again, we had covered most of that stuff already through nature study. And it was just this huge affirmation to me that nature study's for real. It's not just a little extra that you just go and do. So huge, 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 huge for sciences.
Right.
Back to your original question, though, which was what other academic areas did I find nature study hitting upon? Really everything. Everything and anything that you can think of, you can tie nature study into it. And I'll just give you a few examples.
Okay.
Math. Math is super easy to pull into nature study. We graph all the time. With little people, I might collect leaves in the fall. And then we come back and we just simply make graphs, whether we put those leaves down in front of us on the floor and make concrete graphs, or maybe by the time they're in second or third grade, I have them take those concrete graphs and turn them into paper graphs or something like that. We graph a lot. Older kids, we might sit at a bird blind in a nature preserve, and we might not only maybe do a line graph of not only the birds we see, but where we see them, how the frequency of the time of day that we see them. Flower types, for instance, you could with little people, just as simple as what colors of flowers do we see today? How many whites do we see? How many pinks do we see? And so on. Older kids who are learning about monocots and dicots, for example, we need to chart and graph all the varieties of each of those that we find. Math also could include making two-scale maps. That basically means that with measuring tools or your feet, you literally go out and measure something, and then you take it down in scale and draw that that area on a piece of paper. Multiplication. Let's say you do the one small square where you literally just kind of take a piece of string and you mark out one square foot in your yard. And let's say you're just studying the amount of clovers. Well, after you get the amount of clovers in that one small square, then you figure out through multiplication, how many square feet do I have in my yard? Likely, approximately how many clovers do we have in our yard?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just so super simple to incorporate math, measuring everything from lengths to heights to circumference. You can just do any sort of math. History, believe it or not, is very easy to tie into nature study. On our walks, especially after rain in newly plowed fields, which if you don't have a field like we do, you can always ask a local farmer, hey, after you plow your field, can we come take a walk for rocks?
Mm-hmm.
In our situation here in Central Kentucky, not only do we find really cool rocks, but we find arrowheads, which then goes into a discussion of Indians and why they were here. Obviously, fossils on rocks could be historical discussions or research. Various landmarks. We have just a ton of different nature trails here in Kentucky that will lead you to things like a natural bridge. And you can start talking about how was this formed, when do you think it was formed, what's the history behind this, who might have used this bridge and why. And then we stumbled upon some at a museum one time where we found out that the Ohio River, which is really wide and really deep at the time, was the escape point for slaves. And so we'd always known that it was an escape point for slaves, but we're like, how did they get across? And so we find out at this museum that not only was the river much narrower at that time, it was also much more shallow. So in many cases, they could walk across, or just little tiny paddle boats could take them across quickly where no one would catch them. So obviously, we then went to the Ohio River, and we did some of our own nature walking, trying to imagine the history behind that. So that's just math and history. really, there's so much more geography. Obviously, you're going to be talking about geography terms. That would be things like hills and mountains and valleys and cliffs. Anytime you map or read maps or use a compass, that's all considered geography. Social sciences, which would be considered things like politics or economics or environmental issues. Believe it or not, those things can even tie into nature study. For instance, think about the political economic issue, kind of a hot topic right now of farmers using chemicals in on their fields and then the chemical runoff going into the streams and what's the impact there. So those make really good older kid research projects. Currently in Kentucky, and I know several other states around our nation, there is an emerald ash borer, which is an insect that is destroying ash trees. And so your older kids, again, could study the impact of the environmental impact on these ash trees and what's going to happen, and maybe even research on what could I do to help the situation. And then there's the more obvious academic tie-ins, which I would consider language arts and art, because most people, when they think of nature study, they think of the nature journal, where you are drawing things, you are labeling things, you are maybe writing descriptions of things. You might even go home and read a book about the things that you find, or obviously read a field guide or something. So I don't know how many was that. At least a handful of academic subjects that easily tie into nature study.
Wow. I mean, it's really incredible. And I had the opportunity to look through some of the 100-plus creative ideas that you share in your ebook, and I was very, very impressed. There are so many ideas, and I am just really curious, what are some of your favorite ideas that you would be willing to share with us?
Oh, well, that's very good. Man, there are so many. From the book, I just picked up, because I knew you were going to ask this question, so I just picked out the very first walk in that book, And the reason I did that is because it's titled something really simple. It's called 1, 2, 3, What Do I See? And the first thing you think of is, okay, well, that sounds really childish, so maybe I could do this walk with my preschooler or my first grader. But I want to challenge you that nature walks, no matter how simple they seem, can be done with the entire family. That's what's really cool about nature study is it's very multi-age friendly, and you just expect different things from the different ages. So let's talk about that 1, 2, 3, What Do I See walk. Obviously, it's about counting. So let's say you have a little preschooler going on the walk. Let's say we're going to focus on trees. Okay? So you're just simply going to ask your preschooler, Mom wants you to see if you can find 5 different trees. 1, 2, 3, What do I see? Okay? And when you do, let's see if we can draw a little picture of that tree. Okay? Older kid, let's say third grade, you, my sweet, are going to not only find 10 different trees, but you're going to go through the field guide, and I want you to try your very best to identify each of the 10 you find. High school, you also are going to find 10. You're going to go through the field guide, and you're going to identify each one of them. You are also going to draw detailed sketches of at least 5 of them where you label the parts that you know and tell me a little bit about what each of those parts do for the tree, and then list 5 other important aspects that trees provide, and then, you know, maybe even something like locate one of the trees and tell me the health of it and what clues lead you to think that the health is good or not good. In creative nature walks, what I've tried to do is give you the simple idea of 1, 2, 3, What do I see? And then give you lots of those build-on extension ideas so that all of you can kind of be doing the same thing, but the little ones are only doing what was first mentioned, and then you've kind of got those extension ideas that you're asking your older kids to do. So that's what I've attempted to do. Yeah. I put a compilation of my very favorite and most creative ideas in that book for the simple reason that I feel like most people don't do nature walk because of a few different reasons.
What are those? Because I will tell you that I am one of those people. Whenever
made myself go out and do it, I always enjoy it. It's kind of like exercising. You know, I'm a faithful exerciser, but I have days when it's like, oh, I really, really, really don't want to do this. But then when I've finished, I'm so glad that I did. I feel great. And really, nature walks have been that way for me, where
exactly.
I really don't want to do it. So tell me what's wrong with me, Cindy. Why don't I want to do it?
Aren't you the doctor here?
Well, I'm going to let you play today.
Okay, all right. Well, I will try. I really think it boils down to 2 main reasons. I think, number one, the kids get bored because, number 2, Mom doesn't really know what to do.
Okay.
So, you know, most people just say, okay, we're going on a nature walk today. They find that trail. They walk that trail. They might feel good afterwards, but they're not really doing anything with that. Other people then go, okay, well, I know I'm supposed to be doing this whole nature journal thing. So, okay, this next walk, we're going to take some nature journals, and then they might bring a blanket or they sit down at a bench on the trail and they're like, okay, draw something, and everybody draws something, and then they don't know what to do with it. So what I've tried to do through creative nature walks is give you the creative ideas so that not only Mom feels confident that we've got this awesome idea, and we're going to go out and implement it today. But then the kids are like, wow, we're really doing something cool out here. This is fun. This is motivating. And so what's best, and what I've heard from my reviewers with the Creative Nature Walks, is that they download it onto their phone, onto their iPad, whatever they're taking with them, and they're literally on the walk and just pull that up really quick and go, okay, I need an idea. Boom, there's the idea. Hey, kids, this is what we're looking for today. And they already have their little nature bag packed with maybe a journal and some pencils and maybe something to measure with, and they go for it. So I really think that's the most frustrating. The other thing that I kind of think keeps people away from nature walks is thinking, like I mentioned before, that, okay, this is just an extra, and I'm trying so hard to keep up with everything else that I don't have time to add this. And that's why I was trying to explain earlier that, man, it's not just adding. It is replacing. So if you normally do science curriculum 3, 4, 5 times a week, take one of those days and make it nature study and skip the other. And most people go, wait a minute, you're asking me to skip something, which I'm a pretty good mathematician, and that means at the end of the year I won't quite have finished the book. And I always tell people, hey, that's totally okay. I promise you, don't finish the book. Don't finish the book. No teacher in the public school system ever finished a book, ever. It's okay. Yes.
Right.
And your homeschool is going, your homeschool academically and motivatingly is going to be so much better off for making time for those nature walks.
You know, I was just looking at some research, Cindy, that said that, you know, getting that sun exposure from getting outside is one of the things that makes people happier. I mean, research supports that idea. And I think it isn't just vitamin D, you know, that we get from the sun that, that makes us feel better, but it's also just the light in our eyes. You know, that's how our circadian rhythms get regulated, and it's just so important that we get out there and allow our bodies to behave the way that God created them to behave. So that is, that's so great. Well, I know that you have authored some other really great books, and I mentioned a couple of them at the beginning of our interview, but I was hoping that you could tell us a little bit more about them in case people are interested. I have read another of your books, the first one that I mentioned, Homeschooling Gifted and Advanced Learners. I recommended it when I've spoken about homeschooling gifted children. It's excellent. Can you tell us a little bit more about that book?
Yes. That is the only book that I have not self-published. Everything else I self-publish, and they are available as e-books. This one is actually available through Prufrock Press, and they just knew that I was homeschooling at least one extremely gifted kid. I think I have some others who are less obviously gifted in other areas, but one extremely academically gifted. And and so I just kind of wrote this from the perspective of if you were considering homeschooling a gifted child, or you're in the midst of homeschooling a gifted child and just really need some reassurance, I kind of take you from the beginning through. I don't go into a whole lot of detail about the idiosyncrasies of gifted kids. It's an easy read, in other words, and it's just really practical with ideas for if my child is gifted in such and such, what's the best way to reach them? If my child is not gifted in such and such, what's the best way to reach them? Even, for instance, my daughter was this gigantic reader, started reading at 4, not necessarily gifted in math. So I talk about a lot about that, how to take the gifted areas and soar with them, even though maybe not everything is completely gifted. So it really just covers everything, especially for people who are new to homeschooling or considering it, and people who are just struggling with gifted learners.
Mm-hmm. And I, you know what I really appreciated amongst many things is that you say advanced learners. I think there is mm-hmm. just so much of a kind of a, I hate to use the word stigma because it's not really a stigma, but I think we have some stereotypes around the word gifted that mm-hmm. can really mess people up. But I think
yeah.
advanced learners, it, you know, when I talk about my oldest son, that's usually what I say. He's an advanced learner or he's
exactly.
advanced in academics. And it helps people to feel comfortable. And I think it helps parents too. You know, it kind of reduces some of that fear. So I just really appreciate the advice that you give us in that book. Now, what about some of the other e-books that you've written? What are some other great gems that we can collect on your website, which I will say again is shiningdawnbooks.com?
Okay, well, The 100 Creative Nature Walks is the newest of my books, and it is written for people who are new to homeschool, or not new to homeschooling, new to nature walks, or really struggling with the motivation. Those are your quick grab-and-go ideas. But mm-hmm. for those people who grab onto nature study, they've done it for a while, maybe they're just so super excited about a topic, I have actually written 19 nature explorers studies. And nature
okay.
explorers take one topic, for instance, the topic of deciduous trees or the topic of rocks or the topic of animal signs, and they literally give you a bazillion ideas on that topic. And let me just walk mm-hmm. you through that really quick. You're going to get approximately 25 to 40 nature walks on that particular topic. Then
mm-hmm.
you're going to get ideas for when you come home, hands-on activities to do, experiments to perform, models to make, research to do, writing to pull from your kids. I've even helped you with literature suggestions, artist study suggestions, poetry suggestions. I've given you some notebooking pages. If you happen to have a nature club, a group of you who get together, I've even included some group activities for nature study. I wrote these nature explorers for first through eighth grades. Again, that's a wide range, but remember, just about any time you do nature study, you can use it multi-age easily.
Mm-hmm.
But I have included some specific ideas even for preschoolers and even some specific ideas for your high schoolers, some of those more in-depth science research projects to incorporate everybody. So that's kind of where I started with this business. Nature Explorer studies were the beginning. And
okay.
they continue to be sort of the spine of my company. The Creative Nature Walks has grown from that because not everybody wants to dive super deep into one topic.
Mm-hmm.
When I told you earlier on that we had covered so much of the upper level sciences through nature study, we had done them nature explorers style. In other words, we had taken one topic and we had really covered it well, thoroughly.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a month or two of weekly nature studies on that topic. And so that's what the Nature Explorers units do for you. Obviously, but we've talked just a little bit, I am a Charlotte Mason-style homeschooler, so I've also written a little book, a little ebook about easily incorporate that style of homeschooling into your lifestyle. So some people get really overwhelmed with how do I do this. So Charlotte Mason Homeschooling just walks you through 18 easy lessons. The first lesson, you learn a little bit, and then you've got some homework to do. The next lesson, you build onto that, you got a little homework to do. And so after 18 weeks, you should have fully implemented a Charlotte Mason style homeschool.
Wow. Very cool.
Other couple of things I have are some more nature studies that are seasonally related. I have an Easter study, which is a unique way to look at the last week of Jesus' life here on earth through nature study and Bible study. And then I have one for Advent as well. And then I even have two books in a little preschool series, Winter Nature Study and Spring Nature Study for preschoolers.
Oh, wonderful.
I think that's it. I'm drawing a blank. But
well, if there's more, I'm sure people will find it on your website. And I will just say that I think as homeschoolers, some of us at least have become a little bit wary of ebooks because you just don't know what the quality is of those books. But I can tell you that I am very, very impressed with the quality of Cindy's
work.
And I think that if you're listening to this and you're listening to Cindy, you can tell that she has a lot of expertise and creativity that she brings to the table. So you can really expect a quality book when you purchase from her. Well, Cindy,
you are
so welcome. I really mean it. Where is the best place for our listeners to find you on the web?
Okay, well, besides Shining Dawn Books, that's where you can find the materials. I happen to blog at ourjourneywestward.com, and I have blogged there for years. So not only do I currently do 2 or 3 posts a month on just our homeschooling, everything from preschool to high school, but you can find lots of archives for things like Nature Study or Charlotte Mason or all kinds of things. My passion is encouraging others, and that's what I attempt to do on Our Journey Westward. So I hope that you'll come and visit me there and comment, and both sites have contact forms. Should you have any questions, always feel free to ask.
And I bet you have some social media accounts too, don't you?
I do. Let me think. Google Plus is just plus Cindy West. And Twitter is Cindy West 10. Facebook, you can find me at Shining Dawn Books. And Pinterest, you can find me at Cindy K. West.
Cindy K. West. All right. And if you're frantically trying to write this down, please stop, because I'm going to have everything that Cindy has mentioned during our interview on the show notes for this episode, which you can find at homeschoolsanity.com. If you scroll down to Ideas for Learning with Nature Walks, you will find everything that we've talked about. Cindy, this has really been a pleasure. I am super motivated to get my kids and even some of the kids that I co-op with outside to do these nature walks this fall.
Yay!
So thank you. Yes, I will do it.
Yes! Okay, great!
Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you. This has been my very first ever podcast, and I want to thank you for inviting me, and what a pleasure it has been. Thank you for letting me get the information out and just making this a breeze to do. Thank you so much, Melanie.
Thank you for joining us for the Homeschool Sanity Show with Dr. Melanie Wilson. Visit Melanie at psychowith6.com, that's the number 6, for more sanity-saving ideas. The Homeschool Sanity Show is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.